Turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. We've been looking at the book of Galatians. We've been looking at the background. We found out that Paul was Saul, that he was a virulent hater of God's church. But through the miracle of the new birth. And that's one thing now that is not mentioned, that the new birth is a miracle. It's not just simply a belief, but it is a change that God's Spirit produces in an individual where they are transformed into Christ-likeness. It doesn't occur suddenly. It takes time, but Paul went from Paul who killed people who were Christians to a person who loved Jesus, who loved Gentiles, and who went all over the Roman world to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul had everything going for himself. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, going to be one of the most prominent rabbis of his day. And he sacrificed it all and gained the whole world by trusting Jesus. But I want to show you a day in the life of the apostle. A day in the life of the apostle Paul. You may not know this, but just to give some flavor, Paul is mad in this epistle, remember? We saw how Jesus got mad at things. Jesus made a whip. And he drove out the money changers from the temple. Well, Paul becomes an apostle. He starts spreading the word of Jesus Christ. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive and cleanse. And he finds out that there were people called Judaizers that were going around and undermining his ministry. Can you imagine? The Lord has a great sense of humor. From the guy who was all in charge, able to put people into prison and stone people, he's now going all over the Roman area of Asia Minor, spreading the gospel to synagogues, to Gentiles. And there's a group of people that were assaulting Paul in doing this. I want to show you what they said about him. You know, there's preaching out there. If you listen to preachers on television, which you shouldn't, to be honest with you, turn them off. All of those ministries promote the preacher. Have you ever said to yourself that when I listen to that preacher, all I see is Jesus Christ? Can you say that about those television ministries and prominent preachers today? Can you? I was thinking about that the other day. All you see in those prominent ministries is the man and not Jesus Christ. And some of them promise if you send them money, you will be wealthy, prosperous. Let me show you a day in the life of the apostle. After Paul became saved, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to tell you what the Judaizers who wanted to turn all Gentiles into good Mosaic covenant people. If you follow the Jewish Messiah, they said, you have to get under Moses. But you know what we just read this morning. Paul says, Christ freed us from what? The law. Here's what they said about him in 2 Corinthians 10:10. I'll tell you something. Anybody that tells you when you follow Jesus, the sky's the limit and everything's going to be wonderful. Here's what they said about someone who's going to be the greatest rabbi in the world after he accepted Jesus as his Savior. Here's what they said in 10:10. His letters are weighty, but his personal presence is unimpressive. I've read the guy's books, but when I hear him speak, by the way, you know what happened in Acts? It says in Acts, Paul was speaking in an upper room, and one of the people that were listening to him, he was such an inspiring speaker that what happened? He fell out the window and dropped down, and luckily Paul was able to pray and raise him from the dead. Man, that's if you fall asleep on Dave, don't worry about it. At least you're on the ground floor. If you ask me, that means that when you saw Paul, there's always a little bit of truth behind criticism. Maybe he was just a short little guy. They've read his letters when he gets there. What? You're Paul? And they insulted the poor man. He writes great letters, but he's not a great speaker. They also said this in verse 8 of chapter 11. I robbed other churches, taking wages from them. You know what that is saying? One of the accusations of Paul? He used his money in wrong ways for himself. That's the kind of thing that they spread about Paul. Now let's look at a day for him. Who was doing this? People that were like Acts 15, people who were converted to Jesus, but who were still Pharisaical in their outlook, that believed that Christians, Gentiles, needed to get under the law of Moses. So they began to spread all sorts of things about Paul, saying his preaching was wrong. And here's what Paul said of these guys that were the Judaizers. They are false apostles in 2 Corinthians 11:13, deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. Woo! Are they Hebrews in verse 22? So am I. So here's what we have. Jewish Christians who went around undermining the preaching of Paul because he didn't put Gentiles under Moses. Christ freed us from that. So, what does he experience in his life? Well, verse 23. He experiences far more labors. He experienced far more imprisonments. Beaten times without number. Can you imagine going from the guy that's putting people in jail to the guy that's being put in jail? And not only that, he used to beat people, have them beaten, have them stoned. He's the one now being beaten and stoned for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Notice how he distances himself now from his former group. He says it, the Jews, as if now he is no longer a part of that group. He is a part of those who follow Jesus, the true followers of God. And the Jews have rejected the Messiah, so he is distancing himself from them. 39 lashes. Do you know why they didn't give 40? The average person at 39 was so weakened that if they would have gone further, could result in his death. So they beat him to within an inch of dying. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Do you know what rods are? Remember that? Wow, it's been time now. Singapore, back in the 90s, a kid did some spray painting, I think, in Singapore. And they were going to do what? Whip him with a cane. It is brutal. And I think they did end up whipping him, even in spite of the fact that world outcry. Well, they beat Paul with rods. His back would have been open, black and blue, bleeding. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Now, that doesn't mean with illicit substances. That means that they hit him with rocks. What was Paul doing to people? Stoning them before he began. Now he's the one being stoned. What this is a marvelous testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ met him on the Damascus Road and transformed this man. So that he was willing to put up with all of this for the sake of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, that for by grace you're saved through faith, and that is not from yourself, it is a gift of God. But what does he find in the Epistle of Galatians? A bunch of Christians, Gentiles, who were conforming to Moses instead of Jesus Christ. What a delicious irony. Notice this, 3 times I was shipwrecked. Well, we don't know all the shipwrecks. Acts tells us about 1 shipwreck. He was shipwrecked other times. Can you imagine that flight that went down? If there are people, you know, that plane, the Airbus 320-200 is designed, if they were able to do it, to close off all of the area of the bottom of the plane so it could float. But can you imagine going down in the midst of a deep, dark sea, land nowhere to be seen, with sharks all around you? And Paul had that happen to him 3 times. And he endured because he loved the Lord Jesus. God converted him. He loved Gentiles and he was spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I saw a movie, Open Water, I think it was, where a couple went scuba diving and the boat accidentally left them out there. Did anybody ever see that movie? And how, it was a true story, how the sharks got them. Can you imagine that? What would keep a man 3 times shipwrecked, spending that? The only thing that would keep that man is that is a testimony to God's saving grace, the power of the new birth, and his love for the gospel and Gentiles. To spend that kind, that would have defeated the average person. Can you imagine what the average Christian today would think if they had gone through just what we've mentioned up to now? Lord, why do you hate me? But for Paul, he endured to spread the gospel. It must be a very important message for a man to endure this kind of thing. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers. Today, how do you travel? You go by car. You go by plane. You go by train. You go by bus. You can't hitchhike anymore. It's too dangerous. You know how Paul went? He walked on land. He had to ford rivers. So he had to get across a river that in the winter they would swell from the flooding of the rain. Dangers from robbers. As you travel, guess what? You can't call 911. You don't call the sheriff. You got to trust the Lord that when those robbers appear, somehow the Lord will keep you safe. Because what they would do, robbers would come out of nowhere. They'd take everything you have and leave you bleeding to death out in the middle of nowhere. Couldn't call an ambulance, could you? Think about that. This is what he faced. Dangers from my countrymen. The fellow Jews were out to get him. Dangers from the Gentiles. The Gentiles were out to get him. Dangers in the city. Dangers in the wilderness. You know, I believe if you did a scan of Paul's internal organs, especially his intestines, let me wake you up this morning, I believe you would see nothing but parasitical organisms from all of the traveling on land he had to do. My wife worked for a doctor while I was getting my last degree. And a lady traveled down to Mexico. And I'll never forget it, because Sandy won't forget it. And she had gotten a parasitical organ in her intestinal area. How did she know? A worm this long appeared. Not that long? How long? Preachers have an imagination, and it went from here. How long? That long. That's long enough. I'd say that's long enough. And I have heard guys that deal with this say that for every one that will appear, there's many more still in the intestinal tract hooked onto it. So the doctor said, bring in a sample, didn't he? She said to my wife, and gave her the Tupperware, you know, with the sample in it. How'd you like to be working for a doctor's office where you grabbed the Tupperware sample of that stuff and they had to give her stuff? I'll bet you if you saw Paul, he would have been loaded with parasitical organisms. Just this, as he went through this, I've been in labor and hardships through many sleepless nights. Have you ever had a sleepless night? Can you imagine you're traveling just like Lewis and Clark through these areas? You try to go to sleep for the night and you've got parasites in your organs and someone may try to rob you. One, better keep watch. In hunger and thirst, often without food. What would drive a person to go all over Asia Minor, all over Europe, suffer these kind of things, be in this kind of distress? You know, the only thing you can say is the marvelous converting power of Jesus Christ in a man who learned that the gospel was the most valuable thing that he could have and give to other people. Often without food, in cold and exposure, no thermals. They did the best they could. You know what he said when he was in prison at the end of his life? Bring my cloak. In other words, he was cold. All he had was his scrolls and he wanted his coat. That's all he had left in life. Why? Because he was sold out to the Lord. And apart from such external things, there's the daily pressure upon me for concern of all the churches. Hey, I don't know how guys do one church, let alone he's got dozens of churches he started, and he's worried. You know what he's worried about? That they're going to go give over and become followers of Moses instead of followers of Jesus. That they're saying about him, he robs churches. Or they're saying about him, Paul isn't to be trusted, and he kept enduring through this whole thing. These preachers that promise people when you become a Christian, everything is going to be wonderful, have never looked at Paul's life. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? And then here's what he said, which I find amazing. In 2 Corinthians 7. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Finally, after all of that, God said, Paul, you haven't gone through enough. You've been fording rivers. You've got parasites in your intestines. It's been too easy on you. We don't know what this thorn in the flesh was, but it was something that, you know what Paul's greatest sin was? What most powerful preachers actually, their greatest sin, you know what it is? Pride. I was talking to a guy yesterday, talked about a famous preacher, if I mentioned it, you'd know, and how he said, I cannot believe that guy's a preacher, how arrogant he was when he went to this conference and how he never even thanked the guy. It was just awful what I heard. And I thought, you know, I'm in the business and it doesn't make me feel good about the way some of these guys are. And here is Paul. God gives him a thorn in the flesh. And I prayed, he said in verse 8, 3 times. And guess what? God didn't heal him. And here's what he said. God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weaknesses. That's why maybe a small church is a blessing. You ever thought about that? I know wealthy churches that someone gives a check. As a matter of fact, I know one instance in which the seminary where I'm at was presented with a check just recently for $1 million. But you know what happens? You're tempted to think, man gave you that $1 million. And then you start paying attention to the big donors. because they're the ones that gave the money. And you forget the widow's mite of people that give in proportion to what they have. Jesus said it's not the big givers, it's the one who gives in proportion to what they have. And you begin to think that it's not God, but just like Nebuchadnezzar, you look out over all of your thousands of people and you begin to say, look what my hand has done. And then you know what happened to Nebuchadnezzar when he started to brag about what great things he had done? God made him eat grass like an ox. Well, God beat the stuffings out of Paul and he learned that you're strongest when you're weak. That's contrary to what humans think, isn't it? And look what he says. Therefore I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. I haven't gotten there yet. I've gotten anonymous letters. I've gotten all sorts of things. I've had people leave the church over the most stupid issues. And it hurts. Suppose you were to get a pastor. You know what they teach pastors to do today? Brag about your strengths. So they write a resume. Yes, I have my master's and I have my doctorate and I got this great honor and award and here's how great I am. And if you do just right by me, I may grace you with my presence at the church. That's what humans think like. That's what human culture. But here Paul says, glory. He gloried in his weaknesses. So the next time you need a preacher here, after they shoot me, get him to tell you about his weaknesses. You know what happens when a preacher would say, well, I don't want to tell you about my strengths because Paul said I don't glory in my strengths. I glory in my weaknesses. You know what would happen if a preacher actually sat there and told you his weaknesses? No church would hire him. Why? Because the world has controlled our thinking. Paul said, I glory. He says this, therefore I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for when I am weak, then Christ is strong. I tell the guys at the seminary, you'll be asked to brag before a pulpit committee. And if you don't brag and you say, well, I glory in my weaknesses. Here are my weaknesses. The church would never hire them. Aren't we looking at it the wrong way? Or am I crazy? I'm crazy, but I don't think I'm wrong here. Let's put it that way. This is what Paul found. That his greatest strength was when the Lord was enabled and Paul was placed to the side in everything that he did. And he found himself at times when he was preaching that he was in the worst shape. You know when I don't feel like preaching? Huh? Sunday morning. You know when I don't feel like teaching? Sunday morning and Wednesday night. I know a little bit about... I don't know why. It's tough getting up here. Entertain the crowd. Well, I don't entertain a crowd very well. I just tell you the way it is, at least as far as I can tell. But that's what Paul found. Go back to Galatians. That was a day in the life of the Apostle Paul. He ate at McDonald's. Had a steak dinner at night. Rode first class on the train or the plane. No, he walked everywhere. He starved. He ended up in shipwreck, all because his love of Jesus and the gospel. What he finds himself here in Galatians, and this is the first book he ever wrote, at least as far as we can discern, here is what he finds. He's got parasites in his intestines. He's a little bit thin because he hasn't been eating well. He's been out has a neck ache and a back ache from sleeping out in the open. The churches in Galatia are isolated. Some of them are up in the mountains, and he's been going everywhere that he can to spread God's word. And as soon as he leaves and goes down into Greece, guess what happens? The Judaizers come in to Galatia. And they say, we hear Paul was here. Yeah, wow. Paul was here and told us about the grace of God. And they would say, listen, you Gentiles need to get under the law of Moses. You need to become circumcised. You need to keep the Sabbath. You need to do this or you can't be saved. And everything that Paul did in the churches of Galatia were undermined and threatened to be destroyed. I think that's a delicious irony, because there's the guy that tried to destroy the church, and now the guy finds out that the greatest enemy to the church, you know what the greatest enemy of the church is? Never an outside threat. You know what the greatest threat to the church has always been? The Trojan horse on the inside. The wolves in sheep's clothing. And that's why he'll say, and with this we closed, in verse 6, we will get there next week, I think. I am amazed that you so quickly desert him who called you by the grace of Christ to a completely different gospel. You know what gospel they got them into? You got to do this and that to be saved. Listen to me. For by grace you're saved, through faith. And that is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, lest someone should boast. And everything that Paul did was undermined by these people. A delicious irony for the guy that tried to destroy the church. Who was doing a greater job at destroying the church? The people who professed to be known Christians were spreading a false gospel. That's what he's facing.